Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning I want to have a bit of a look at being thankful, and I thought that we would do that by looking at a particular psalm. You may have noticed that we've touched on psalms a bit this morning. Our opening verses was from one psalm. We always have a psalm as part of our service, and so today you're getting to hear parts of three different psalms. And this is good. Often, as pastors, we often, to our loss, don't always preach on the psalms. And there's lots of great stuff in the psalms. So this morning, I want to look at Psalm 100. And let's just read that first. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's a lot in that in just five verses, and it's a good psalm to help us get into that mindset of thanksgiving, of coming to the Lord joyfully, of excitement. You know, it's sort of like you're going to an event that is really special to you, and this is what the psalmist is arguing. The people should be as they come to the temple. Because this was written in the Old Testament days. They were talking about the temple. How do you come into God's presence? Do you come weeping? Well, maybe you do if you're really, really sad. But he's suggesting that our approach to God is not one of fear. Yes, we do fear our God. He's awesome and all-powerful. But one of excitement and joy. Why? Because you've been so good? No. Because he's so good. And he cares about you. We give thanks to God because of what he has first done for us. So let's have a look at this a little bit closer, this particular psalm. Now, if you're like me, you grew up knowing the first verse of this psalm worded a little bit differently. I grew up with knowing it as, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In fact, as a Sunday school, in Sunday school and early youth days, we had a song based on this, which of course went, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so scripture that you learn as song sticks in your head. It actually sticks in your head better than just memorizing, because when we sing something, a different part of our brain engages. And it's good to learn to sing scripture. And many believe that the Psalms themselves, back in the Old Testament days, were set to music and were sung. So not only can the Psalms be seen as Jesus' prayer book, but can be seen as his music book or his chorus book, his hymn book. But this verse always meant something special to me. I grew up with a mum who was very musical. Now, she didn't have a lot of training or education, so she was not good at reading music. But if she heard a song played, she could then play it back. And she loved to play on the piano, and she was quite talented. And as most mums, she wanted her kids to follow in her footsteps. And though she tried, I can still play chopsticks, I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's probably the scope of the many hours and pleading that went into my musical training. To her disappointment, I took after my dad, and so did my brothers when it came to musical abilities. Yes. And as a teenager, as I was involved with the Christian group at school, Scripture Union had every Friday lunch, we had a Christian group that gathered together, and we would sing some songs, and then a teacher or someone else would share a bit of a message with us. But it was a good time of fellowship, and the singing was always good. And I wanted to be a youth worker. I wanted to be like these teachers were. We sometimes had special youth workers that would come in and talk to us, and they'd often be there with their guitar. And I, as a kid, I just adored that, and I wanted to be able to do that for other people. So when I was about 16, I went to Kmart and was able to get a guitar for $20. That was several weeks' pocket money back in those days, but you know, quite a cheap guitar type thing. And I thought, you know, how difficult could this be? Others had encouraged me that, especially when it came to most of the songs we were singing out of our scripture chorus books, there was only two or three chords being used. Anyway, so learn them and strum away and you're all... So, as you've probably seen, I don't play the guitar all that often because I just couldn't get my head around it. I mean, the very first thing that people said to me you need to do is tune it. Now, for that, you have to be able to tell that it's out of tune. So that didn't work for me either. As I got older as a teenager, I still had this great desire that I wanted to work with youth. I felt that this is what, you know, this is one of the things the Lord was calling me to. Yet I saw that youth ministry, this is in the 70s, youth ministry was very tied to music. In fact, normally when you had a youth group meeting or you did something along those sort of lines, half the time was spent singing things. If you took a bus somewhere, what did you do in the bus all the way? You sang. Now, how could I lead in this area not being able to do that? So when I got to 19 and was starting to do these sort of things, you know my solution to this? I team up with someone who is good at music. And so it was normally a team ministry. There was normally a young lady in the church in whatever area who was good in music but really hate being up front. I don't enjoy being up front, but I can do that, and so it worked out as a good teamwork. Where am I getting with all this, besides telling you stories, is this verse gave me great encouragement in my teenage years. It did not say, make a wonderful harmonic tune to the Lord. It doesn't say, have great precision and be a spectacular musician before you can praise the Lord. What do you need to do? Make a joyful noise. Now I can do that. I can do that. We can hear Noah up the back there making joyful noises. We're born making joyful noises. We're also born making other sorts of noises, but that's besides the point. To make a joyful noise is something we can all do. This is an inclusive passage. Now, I think when it comes to our church singing, it doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. Open your hearts and let it out. not singing to the person next to you, you're singing to the Lord. You may want to take a step further away from the person next to you if you need to. That's all good. But make a joyful noise to the Lord. How's one of the ways we can show thanks? Is in our singing, in our praise, in making joyful noises. So, taking the first two verses that we read earlier, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. This is all about what should our attitude towards worship be, is one of joy. Now, I'm not saying that you have to, if you're in a dark place, if you're feeling depressed, it's not that you are therefore can't come to worship. And it's not that this will always be easy. One of the things often is that Scripture challenges us with things that are not easy. And it's not, as I sadly have seen in a church many years ago, where somebody who was going through a tough time came into church and somebody in church told them to, smile, you're coming into the Lord's place. Well, you shouldn't really be telling other people to smile. You don't know what they're going through. But you set the example. Worry about yourself. Is this your attitude? And what can you do to make it easier for other people to come along joyfully to worship? Are we coming to church? Are we coming to any Christian gathering because we have to? Or because we are eager to join with fellow followers of Jesus, to be with them in our God's presence? We are coming into his presence. He's here before we get here. Why do we do this? Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Why do we come thankfully? Why do we worship our Lord? Because he is the creator of everything. When we look out there, we see the sunshine, we see the flowers, we see the trees, we see the wildlife, we walk along our gorgeous beaches, we see God's handiwork all around us. Does that not bring joy to your heart? Does that not start to make you want to shout out praises to him? He is our creator. And as you are no doubt aware, in Scripture there are a lot of farming references because Israel was an agricultural society. So we are his people. How are we his people? We are like sheep in the pasture. Not that bright, and often in need of help. We follow where he leads. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As I mentioned, this was talked about when it was written, referring to entering the temple, entering God's presence. Here was the place where you knew you would be in the presence of God, coming to his temple, coming to his tabernacle before the temple. Often today, we take those passages talking about temple and apply them to the church. So when you come to church, be like that. But we need to be careful there, because in the New Testament, The temple is where God dwells. We actually see that Jesus points out that he is the temple, doesn't he? That Jesus, so coming into the presence of Jesus, and where can you come into the presence of Jesus? Anywhere, can't you? You don't have to be in the church building. It's wonderful having a church building, something to thank the Lord for. But the building isn't the only place we encounter the Lord, and the only reason we encounter it in the building is because of the people. We come into God's presence wherever we gather around his word, wherever we gather to pray together, wherever we gather together and sing his praises, when we fellowship together, when we're alone at night, too scared to sleep, when we're overwhelmed with the fears of this world, when our hearts are bursting for our concerns for our children or our grandchildren. The Lord is there with us, isn't he? He is there with us. And when it comes to his temple, the New Testament goes even further to point out that the temple is where God's presence resides, isn't it? And where does the Holy Spirit reside? In us. Each and every one of us is also a temple. There's a need for us to worship because we are always, wherever I am, the Holy Spirit is. Therefore, I am wherever I am. Sound like Popeye. Wherever I am, the Lord is there. And I should be worshipful. I should have that mindset. We should be giving him thanks all the time and praise his name. It's one of those things where we've talked about before about praying continuously. Part of that is getting into a mindset where you're always talking to God. That as you walk from your car to the building, you're talking with God. As you're doing your chores, you're talking with God. As you're driving a tractor, you're talking with God. Whatever you're doing, you're talking with God. Likewise with this giving thanks. As you look around and you see things that he has created, what should you be doing? Giving him thanks. The more we do something, it becomes habit forming. And these are good habits to have. And why? The psalm finishes with, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." It's not about how good a follower of Jesus I am. It's not about how faithful I am when it comes to my promises to him. Rather, he is the one who is good, isn't he? He is the one who is good. His love endures forever. I may want that, but my love gets a bit rocky at times. But not so my God. His love endures forever. We've been looking at that for the last few weeks in the Bible study about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height nor depth, life, death, no matter what tough times we go through, nothing can separate us. His love is focused on you and will stay focused on you. How do we know this? Because he is faithful. We may let him down, but he will never let you down. It may seem that way at times. We may go through tough times where we cry out to him, "What's going on? How is this right? How can you let this happen?" And when we turn to the Psalms, we find many Psalms written exactly like that. Psalm 22 always comes to mind. Have a read of that sometime if you're unfamiliar with it. Why can we keep coming to the Lord with these complaints? Because he is faithful. He will hear us. And it's part of us processing the suffering, the difficulties that this fallen world presents us. It's part of the way we process with it is to come before our Father and wrestle with him about these things happening, because we know his love endures. We know he is faithful. So how does this all fit into what I am currently going, or what our friends are going through, or what our kids or grandkids are going through? We are to bring that to him, knowing that he is faithful. His love endures. Notice that he's faithful through all generations. As he's been faithful to you, so he will be faithful to your kids. He will be faithful to your grandkids. That is something to rejoice about. It is something that we should always hold on to dearly, because of all that our Lord Jesus has done for us. Whether we are in a overwhelming joyful state, or we're so depressed that getting out of bed is a huge effort, he is our Lord. We can come to him. If we're so much in a dark place that to go another day seems too much, our Lord is there with us. We can talk with him. We can ask him to bring us back to this Psalm 100 place, where we can again make a joyful noise, even if we may be struggling with that currently. And if we're not struggling with that currently, all the more reason to make a joyful noise, eh? Because I got out of bed this morning. I'm standing on my own 2 feet. I had a good meal. I had a nice cup of coffee. I had a nice hot shower. You can go on, and it's good to go through. And just think about all the great things that have happened to you so far today. And praise the Lord. And the thing that we as followers of Jesus must always be praising our God for is for his dear Son. We need to keep praising, keep thanking him for all that Jesus has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. Praise the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.